Let's pray. Lord, have mercy. Strength for thy hand. You are from heaven. You look at us and you look at your church and you control everything. Thank you for this word of this evening. You know of what we are going to speak. Please take our heart because it's important. We are approaching the last day. And we all need you, God. This church needs you. And we, all the members of the church, we need, and all the churches around the world, let them be ready for the day when you will come. Have mercy on us. Visit our hearts. Give us the anointment for your word. And that your name be worshipped. You are worthy of worshipping. Adoration and thanking. I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We are going to go on with the reading of the compilation of the writings of Brother Frank about the authority, obedience, etc. So we are going to go on. We are waiting for the last brothers. I don't know if Brother Bruno will come. So we are waiting for the last brothers. So we are going to read from the circular letter of September 1972. Brother Frank writes the title, The True Church as the Body of Christ. May God have mercy on us, that we may be compared with what we read, that we may be identified with what we read, and that we may enter in this Church of Jesus Christ. It is not a small local church. It is not a small community here, a small community here, but it is the assembly of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now we are going to read. In 1 Corinthians 12:12, the church is described as the spiritual body, which is made up of several members. The members of the body are different. However, they belong to each other. They are united from each another. Each one another are united by the skin which covers them. The whole body of Christ is traversed, is nourished by the life of Christ, and it is clothed with his strength. Amen. Amen. It must be like this. This life of Christ must be in each members and give strength, authority, obedience to the faith, and love agapao, that we have one for another, and above all for our Lord. In verse 13 it says that we have all been baptized with one spirit and all watered with one spirit. This is the testimony of the Holy Scriptures. Every true believer is baptized by the Holy Spirit into the Church of the Living God, and by that he is placed under the direction of the Holy Spirit. So there's not much to say here. We know that we are members of Christ and we are watered by the life which is in the body of Christ, and all the members depending one another, and we see that really we live this life. We live the life of Christ. It's true that we have a natural heart, we breathe air, but spiritually we live this life hidden in Jesus Christ. Despite their differences, all the members of the body of Christ, of Jesus Christ, will respect and recognize each other, for together they form one body and are subject to Christ, who is the head, the one who directs each thing, who is the ruler of each thing. You see, the grace of God is to believe that He is the one who directs our life. If we go out of this protection, of course, naturally, the enemy will take us. So it's correct that we live in the hands of God, knowing that He is the one who is the head of all the members. If we read Ephesians 1, Ephesians 1:21-23. Ephesians 1, begin by 20. That He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly places, for above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And He put all things under His feet, and gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. I repeat, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. All the verses are perfect. Here is the dependence. If we are all dependent of this soul head, and you know, on this earth, when we work, we must have a head. And spiritually, if we are all submitted to this soul head, everything will go well. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe that yes, it's correct. So it's important that we understand that we had a responsibility before the one who has redeemed us, the one who has all power on earth and on heaven. Now, Brother Frank writes another title, God Has Established. And here we are going to speak about something that gives more and more light to the Son and Daughter of God, and above all those who have a responsibility in the church. So we must be careful. So, Brother Frank writes this. We read in 1 Corinthians 12:28, and God established in the church first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers. Thus, we thus see that the assembly is not founded by men, but well by Jesus Christ. We also recognized that not Everything that is called the Lord's Church is a church. The biblical exposition is given in order to help each one to test himself, to see if he really belongs to the Church of Jesus Christ. As in Ephesians 4:11, it is written here that God established in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, etc. We have several churches, assemblies, but in reality there is one assembly. That's why God always speaks about one assembly. Brother Frank or Brother Branham always speak of one church, like in Revelation, one church. Listen what the Spirit says to the church. It's very important. We must know to which we belong. Are we a community? If we are a community, this community, the Church of Jesus Christ, it is the Church of Jesus Christ. Correct? And we must also wonder, each one of us, am I in the Church of Jesus Christ or not? When we see Krefeld, a great community in Krefeld, in Holland, in Belgium, in France, everywhere, you see? Is it the church, the unique, the sole church, which is the body of Jesus Christ? This is the strength of a believer. To say, I am this member, I am the arm, I am the leg, you see? Everybody recognize what he is. It's important. I go on reading. Let's read Exodus to understand what is the first church. When they made these people go out of Egypt. Exodus 12. When we have been called out of the world, we have been called out of something. You were Catholic, I was Protestant. So God has called us out of those things so that we may enter in the only church that he has established. The New Jerusalem is the one where Jesus Christ is waiting us. And we can see here where the Lord says, 11, Exodus 12, 11. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. The blood was put on the post, around the door, but not on the floor, because we cannot trample in the foot the blood. That's why God has never put blood on the ground, but only on the post and on the lintel of the house, of the door. Verse 13. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Think, if you are part of the church, this blood on the church, because Jesus Christ redeemed the church. He shed his blood for his church. And if you are part of this church, the same blood protects you. Hallelujah. You see? And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So we see the first church that God made, making them go out of Egypt. Then now we read Matthew 16. Matthew 16, 18. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. If you are in the body of Christ, it's written, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We are part of this Church of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You see? It's like an evangelistic message. But each one of us, we must put ourselves in the Word. We must put ourselves in the trial. We must put ourselves questions. Am I walking as the scripture says? Am I in the body of Christ? Because the gates of hell will never prevail. So I say in the name of Jesus Christ, the gates of hell will never prevail against an elect who is part of the body of Christ. It's the scriptures, not me. The scriptures says this. So we must have the right faith, the correct faith. And say, God, let me enter in it. Let me be in it. I go on reading, Brother Frank here, writing. As in Ephesians 4:11, it is written that God established in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, etc. All those who are part of the Church of Jesus Christ respect the divine order and recognize the ministry of a servant sent from God, be it that of an apostle, a prophet, or a teacher, everything that God has intended for the building up of the church. Those who are part of the body of Christ take with gratitude now we have people who have difficulties to recognize ministries that God has established in the church, the different gifts that God has given. So we see that some people have still problems, always problems, because as it is written here, we must respect the ministries, prophets, apostles, teachers, and all that God has established for the building up of the church. And those who are part of the body of Christ take it with gratitude. So they are all in harmony. Harmony. Here, Brother Frank here explains clearly some things. I think that we have already read this letter, his preachings. So here Brother Frank gives us more light, more explanation. So I read him. Usually, one recognizes the ministry of a pastor or evangelist, those who are very known even in the message of the end time. We always hear about pastor, evangelist. So apart from the special mandate that God has given to Brother Frank for the Church of Jesus Christ, all the others so I believe that the time has come to understand the position of each one so that the God can bless us. To gather the people of God. So usually one recognizes the ministry of a pastor evangelist, but for the other three ministries, it appears to be quite different. However, God judged these to be necessary, and he intended them for the building up of the church. We read in Acts 13:1, there were prophets and teachers in the church of Antioch. Then in the church of Antioch. And then the names of the servants of God are given to us. As they ministered to the Lord, the Holy Spirit said, set me apart, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them. Notice that they laid their hands on them as a sign of accompaniment and not to establish them in their ministry, for it had already been a long time since it had been confirmed by God. You see how many false theologies, credo in the past with the denomination, and now also in the churches of the message. They do things which are not biblical, which are not at all in their scriptures. For example, some people lay hands to receive the ministries, some people give hands to receive ministries. It's not like this. So I go on reading. That's what we need today. Men of God whose calling, I think that we all believe this. Amen. Men of God whose calling and ministry has been revealed and confirmed in the congregation. Revealed and confirmed in the congregation before they can go away. Correct? Revealed. Confirmed in the congregation before they can go away. We have already said this in the circular letter. We have said this already. I read again. That's what we need today. Men of God whose calling and ministry have been revealed and confirmed in the congregation before they can go away. Today we see, we always see that the COVID sometimes have stopped things. The COVID have stopped. A lot of people wanted to go from themselves, they wanted to go themselves here and there. Now it's clear, we have to say it clearly. The ministry must be revealed. It's a revelation. It's a revelation. And God must have mercy. A ministry is also a revelation. The gifts is a revelation. I go on reading. Today we often hear people say, we have Christ and that is why we do not need apostles or prophets, etc. Do we mean by this that the early church did not have Christ and that is the reason why God had appointed apostles, prophets, teachers? Does it mean that the church of Antioch did not have Christ? Because these prophets and teachers were ministering under the direction of the Holy Spirit? It's the opposite that is true. The contrary is true, the opposite is true. In the first church, they were there and they were serving for the edification of the body of Christ. All the people, all together. One ministry cannot work alone. They were all united. We are going to show it. Each church, be careful here. Brother Frank writes, each church which will have truly Jesus Christ will also have the service of ministries within it. You understand? Which also have the services, the ministries in it. Each church which will have truly Jesus Christ, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We'll also have the service of ministries within it, but we have the heart open, the spirit open, what the Spirit says. Much of an apostle service consists of going to the mission field, not only to preach the gospel there, as evangelists do, but also to stay in a place until a church is born and elders may be established therein. You understand? I hope that you have it in your heart. The service of a prophet of the New Testament church now is to expose the prophetic word to the Lord's church according to its divine meaning. In 1 Corinthians 14:29, Paul writes, as regards the prophets, let two or three speak, and let the rest judge. And if another who sits has a revelation, let the first be silent, for you can all prophesy one after another, that all may be instructed and all may be exhorted. And you must, I have highlighted it, the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. What does it mean? The prophets in the church is important because it brings onward the edification, the word. So I repeat, the prophets expose the prophetic word to the church according to its divine meaning. That's why it's important. And that's why it's written, the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Why? Look, Amos 3. Look what is Amos 3. In the message, you remember in the 70s, it was this word that was very often quoted to show that the prophet of our time, Marion William Branham, was really the prophet of our time. He revealed the word of God. He received the revelation of the word of God. Amos 3:6. Is a trumpet blown in a city, and the people are not afraid? Does disaster come to a city unless the Lord has done it? For the Lord God does nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets. Amen. You see? A prophet, principal, main prophet. That's why it's written, the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Why do we speak about Paul, Peter? You understand? Because they are prophets of God. In the last time, God has sent a prophet in this epoch of Laodicea, a special prophet, Malachi 4, verse 5, to bring the heart of the sons to the father of the original Pentecost with demonstration and proofs, with proofs. The spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. The ministry of prophets. So I repeat, the service of prophets of the New Testament church is to expose the word, prophetic word, to the Rose Church according to its divine meaning. It must be there. So where is it? We always say pastor, evangelist, and the others. Prophet, apostles, doctors, doctor, teachers. God must have mercy. And we have also locally elders. Let's take Acts 13. Acts 13. Acts 13. So that the church go on walking in God's way and remain in the body. Acts 13:30. So it was Acts 15:13. So when they were sent off, they went down to Antioch, and having gathered the congregation together, they delivered the letter. And when they had read it, they rejoiced because of its encouragement. And Judas and Silas, who were themselves prophets, encouraged and strengthen the brothers with many words, etc. You see, this ministry also was in Antioch. It was in Antioch. It's still there. For God has not lost this. God has not lost this ministry. It's very important. And also, now we go on. 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. Look here. May God help us to keep what the Spirit says to the church. 1 Corinthians 14:5. Now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophecy. To prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be built up. Now, brothers, if I come to you speaking in tongues, how will I benefit you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or teaching. You understand? You see? I prefer that you prophesy. We read 22. These tongues are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers. While prophecy is a sign not for unbelievers, but for believers. If therefore the whole church comes together, and all speak in tongues, and outsiders or unbelievers enter, will they not say that you are out of your minds? But if all prophecy, that's what the verse I was looking for, but look what is written to prophesy. What does it mean? What does it mean prophesy? Because we're talking about the mystery of prophecy, prophets. But if you are prophesy and an unbeliever or outsider enters, he is convicted by all. He is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed. And so, falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you. We don't speak about prophecies like a prophet who prophesied. No, here speaks about to preach, to exhort, to say things which reveals the secret of the man. Amen. A prophet is a preacher in the New Testament, so that his secret also the secret of the heart. So I go on also with 1 Samuel 9:9. 1 Samuel 9:9. Formerly in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, he said, come, let us go to the seer. For today's prophet was formerly called a seer. And Brother Branham said that this gift, this ministry of prophecy, it's a bit like this here. Nothing to do with William Barron Branham, who was a seer. Number 11. Numbers 11:27. And the young man ran and told Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses from his youth, said, my lord Moses, stop them. But Moses said to him, are you jealous for my sake? Be careful. Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets. You understand? The ministry is important. That the Lord would put His Spirit on them. Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put His Spirit on them. We would like to have a lot of prophets. The church needs those persons. Not apostle, prophet, doctors. 1 Samuel 10:10. First Samuel 10:10. First Samuel 10:9. When he turned his back to leave Samuel, God gave him another heart. And all these signs came to pass that day. When they came to Gibeah, behold, a group of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God rushed upon him, and he prophesied among them. The anointment was with him. And when they came to Gibeah, behold, a group of prophets met him. A group of prophets met him. They were not seers. They were simply in the school of the prophets. You understand? Amen. And the Spirit of God rushed upon him, and he prophesied among them. Amen. Hallelujah. It's to show what is the ministry of a prophet now, today, in the Church of Jesus Christ. 19:20. 1 Samuel 19:20. And then Saul sent messengers to take David. And when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying, and Samuel standing as head over them, the Spirit of God came upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. First Kings 18. First Kings 18:3. And Ahab called Obadiah, who was over the household. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. And when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50s in the cave. 19. Now therefore send and gather all Israel to me at Mount Carmel, and the 450 prophets of Baal, and the 400 prophets of the Asherah, who eat with at Jezebel's table. May have God mercy, so that we understand what the Spirit wants to show us. And 2 Kings 2. Now when the sons of the prophets who were in Jericho saw him opposite them, they said, "The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha." There was a school of the prophets. There was a school where they were submitted to the authority of God, to the Spirit of God, so that they could be able to prophesy, that's to say, to preach. Alleluia. At the same time, it's a revelation that goes out to, you know that today, you know that today, how do we know? So God must have mercy on us to understand what are the ministry of the prophets. That's why people are afraid, the brothers are afraid, they do not understand what God wants to reveal. So they go outside of this. But God has given this to the church. This is the truth. Amen. I go on reading. So Brother Frank writes, why would the Bible give such information if God had not intended to practically lead his people through prophetic ministries? It is clear that it is not the gift of prophecy. We see it by the context, because it is written, if another who sits has a revelation, let the first be silent. You understand? We hope that the Lord put this in the heart. This is very important. That's why each church will have truly Jesus Christ in it, will also have the services in it. We're going reading. So it's clear that this is not the gift of prophecy. We see it by the context, because it is written, if another who sits has a revelation, let the first be silent. But never during a prophecy, when there's a gift of prophecy, when someone, for example, speaks in tongue, another one has a gift of interpretation, during a prophecy, never during a prophecy, can anyone be interrupted. A prophecy is a word coming directly from God by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We cannot say, shut up, stop it. No, we cannot. Amen. Paul says in verse 6, or what use could I, if I do not speak to you by revelation, or by knowledge, or by prophecy, or by doctrine? You see? What is the ministry of a prophet? Most only think of their prophet of predicting things to come, or revealing things present that concern the church. However, the prophetic service is revealed in the New Testament in various ways, especially in that the prophetic word is communicated to the church under the direction and revelation of the Holy Spirit in the correct manner. Amen. Hallelujah. In the correct manner. We often find closely, be careful here, I say it in the name of Jesus Christ, be careful. That's why a ministry who recognizes another ministry, this is from God, because if we do not recognize the ministry of Brother Frank, for example, you would say, yes, but it's obvious. No, it's not obvious for everybody. We know it by revelation, because some people do not believe. And also, other people believe he's a preacher like another one. But God has mercy on us. the direction and revelation of the Holy Spirit in the correct manner. I highlighted very important, and we often find closely allied together, united together, the service of apostles, allied to the service of apostles, the one of prophets, and one of doctor, teacher. And you see this union here. It's very important. One cannot work without another one. They work together. In 2 Timothy 1:11, Paul writes, I have been appointed preacher and apostles and teacher of the nations. Correct? In verse 13, he says, and also Brother Frank also, we can say also, without wanting to elevate him or to glorify him, not at all. In verse 13, he says, be a model of the sound words you have heard of from me in the faith and love that is in Christ Jesus. So Paul was a model. Be my imitate me. I am your model, let's say like this. A preacher who preaches the word of God must be a model. A preacher must be a model. If not, how will we do? How will we do to have trust in him? If this person do not live what he says. You understand? Hallelujah. We're going reading, Brother Frank here. As now, concerning the teacher. As we have just mentioned, the service of a doctor, of a teacher, is closely related to that of the apostle and the prophet. But a teacher does not have the task of the prophet, that is, to present the prophetic and historical part of salvation. But it is given to him, be careful, to set out in detail what has been revealed of God through the prophetic ministry and to teach it to the church. You understand? This is Brother Frank's ministry. A doctor takes into consideration all aspects of biblical teaching that concerns the church. So, linked to the prophets together with the prophets and apostles, also revelation can be brought. Also, the from the doctor also comes revelation, because everything is connected together. But specifically, the doctor, the teacher, takes into consideration all aspects of biblical teaching that concerns the church. So the messaging of this hour, what he has brought, he exposed the things. But how many persons have understood what the Spirit wanted really to say? If there was not this doctor, this teacher, a ministry like this in the church, to put in order what was revealed to the prophet, the prophetic word, a biblical teaching concerning all the aspects of biblical teachings. This is a doctor. This is a teacher. May God help us to understand really those things. So I say this. When people begin to speak about ministry, gifts, and themselves, they do not know that they are in the body of Christ. Who are in the body of Christ to serve the Lord? Who are in the body of Christ to serve the Lord? It's important. May God help us and have mercy on us so that we understand clearly. Now we speak about the service of evangelists. The service of an evangelist is best known to us. However, we will use the evangelist Philip from Acts 8 as an example. An evangelist is a servant of God filled with the Holy Spirit. Particularly here, filled with the Holy Spirit, who proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ with vigor, with energy, and whose service is confirmed in a very special way by signs, miracles, and the healing of the sick. So, for example, Brother Branham, he had this, that all this, Brother Branham, hallelujah, he had all this, all those gospel evangelists, the evangelistic ministry, prophetic ministry, the word of the hour, he had everything in him. There were signs, miracles, with authority, with power. Like the now we speak of a pastor now, like the other four ministries, the pastor's ministry is not limited to a local community, but extends to the whole of the Lord's church. This we have understood that all the ministries are not linked to a local community, but they are here to distribute, to share the same food where it is needed. The pastor, the shepherd, bears the responsibility for the good health of the church. An established pastor of God knows what spiritual food the good shepherd has prescribed for his sheep. And this also is very important. This is also very important. But it is not linked to remain to a local community. It is for all the assembly of Jesus Christ, everywhere. You will always have the word of the hour by inspiration to give to the members of the body of Christ. Now, Brother Frank is speaking here about the establishment or constitution of elders. So now we are talking about the elders. What is elders? Not only the services or ministries, but also elders here. Very important. I read, in the Church of the Lord, the elders are not established by a majority election. Therefore, not by a vote, not by a vote. They are not established by a majority election. For example, who do you like? You like Doriano? You like Francisco? Who do you like? No, this does not exist. Absolutely not. This is not God's way. It is not God's will. They are not established by a majority election. Therefore, not by a vote, but by the apostles or by the servants of God appointed by them. Apostles or by the servants of God appointed by them. Paul and Barnabas are a good example of this. We read in Acts 14:23, and having chosen elders in them, in each assembly, so they have observed, the Holy Spirit has decided, the Holy Spirit has guided them so that they could recognize or chose elders in each assembly. They prayed, fasting, and commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Hallelujah. This is the beginning of an elder who should really serve the Lord in all things. In Titus 1:5, you can read them quietly. In Titus 1:5, Paul writes, I left you in Crete for this purpose, that you put in good order the things which remain to be regulated, and that in each city you establish elders according to what I have ordered. So also in Titus, he was also a servant of God, he was an apostle, he was someone who could, that's to say, whatever may be, but he had received elders so that he could also appoint or recognize elders. The bishops, those overseers, here must be very attentive, the overseers, because Brother Frank, he understands himself, but other people can understand their own way, because some people want to elevate themselves, want to go up above the others. They want competition, and you have a competition in the church. So a bishop, in fact, when we speak about overseer, bishop or overseer, or the one who preside, president, in the local assembly, is also of the elders. That's to say, there must be elders. Whoever thinks that the current understanding of the term bishop is correct, let him remember, however, that in the church of Philippi, there were several bishops. A bishop is an overseer or president, someone who presides when it is his turn to preside in a local assembly and is part of the elders. He must be elders, an elder. Yes. All are overseers, episcopos, overseer of a church. They look after, they take care, all the same level. So it's like overseer, someone who take care or presides a local assembly. And of course, there must be elders. So whoever thinks that the current understanding of the term bishop is correct, let him remember, however, that in the church of Philippi, there were several bishops. We read it in Philippians 1:1, Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Jesus Christ who are in Philippi, to the bishops, that's to say, to the overseers and to the deacons, the servants. We thus see that in the local church there were several overseers, bishops. These bishops were the elders of the church, were part of the elders of the church. So this overseer were part of the elders, had to be elders of the church. But there is not a special rank. Oh, I am a bishop, I am superior of you. This does not exist. There were elders like the other elders. They had to be elders. In First Timothy, so we see that there were several. So there were always elders of the church. And in First Timothy 3:1 we read, if anyone desires to be a bishop, an overseer, he desires an excellent work. First Timothy 3:1. This, the saying, is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseers or to the servilians, he desires a noble task. But they must be elders. There is the human. There is a human. He is elder. He's still part of the elders, but he can have. But he has an aspiration, and he can bring a word which is different from another. There's a difference. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Our grand brother Frank writes from the verse 2, we have here described the virtues and the faculties required for an elder. The virtues, the faculties, the skills, the competences, whatever, maybe how an elder has to be. He must be faultless and run his own household well. So he must be over reproach. Must run his own household well. He should not be a new convert and receive a good testimony from those outside. He must be honorable, orderly in his conduct, hospitable, and suitable for teaching. For just as a teacher appointed by God for the whole church is responsible for it, so are the elders for the local church too, and they must be able to present Bible doctrine to him. They must be able to present Bible doctrines to the church, local church. Very important this. So according so some people understand that they are someone very special. No, it's not like this. It's not like this. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 and 13. It's important to read this because the Catholic Church has created a hierarchy, a Catholic hierarchy, which is not biblical. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 12, Paul writes, now we beseech you, brethren, to recognize those who work among you and who are at head among you in the Lord and who warn you and to esteem very high in love because of their work. Be at peace between yourselves. It's important that we recognize and that we also listen to and we all walk in peace. Without competition, without wanting to be higher than a brother, but to walk in peace. Glory. I read, Brother Frank. Now we beseech you, brethren, to recognize those who work among you and who are at the head among you in the Lord and warn you and to esteem very high and love in the love because of their work, because they love them. Not human love, God's love, true love. Because of their work, be in peace between yourselves. This is the right and necessary position in local church. She cannot rely solely on the apostles, prophets, pastors, doctors, and evangelists, but the local church must also have full confidence in the elders and bishops and the overseers of the church. Only thus can peace and blessing be guaranteed in the church. If not, there will be always this language, I am of Paul, I am of Peter, and there will be always this competition, and this is not good. And people will always, always quarrel, always. While it is not from God. We must fill in the condition. God has called me to do this and that. That's all. You see? So I go on in 1 Timothy 5:17. It is written, "Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor." Who rule well, I have highlighted here. So they must work well, rule well, if they are under the leading of the Holy Spirit. They will rule well, because that is important. The guide of the Holy Spirit. Be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. It is a command of the Lord, and it must be observed, and it must be observed, so that the elders may fulfill their service with joy. This double honor is manifested. It's not that we sit on the papal chair, of the chair of the Pope. No, we must respect. We must give honor because of the work. You know that we must have our weapon and not without weapons. Because if we don't have weapons, the devil will cast us. We know our position, we know what God said, and we are firm. So that the elders may be fulfill their service with joy. Only in this way will they be able to exercise their service as preachers and teachers with full consecration. It is precisely with regard to the elders that God has ordained a very special protection. When he says through Paul in verse 19, "Do not receive an accusation against an elder." It's not a preacher. It's not a ministry, a person who... No, he speaks about an elder. You understand? Elder. Do not receive an accusation against an elder except on the testimony of two or three witnesses. You know that it has always been easy to find something to say about those whom God has appointed, established, God established, let's say, and which he uses for the blessing of the church. No one should receive a negative word about an elder except to hear it from three completely independent witnesses. Of course, if they have discussed between themselves, it has no value. It has no value if three people come together to bring an accusation. There must be three independent witnesses who have not consulted before. It would be best if this rule were observed by the whole community. So all the chatter, the hallway chatter, would soon be over. So, Brother Frank, go straight, speak straight. It must be like this. I suggest that if a complaint is made to you against a brother or a sister, and that you received it only in their presence. You know that it's better that those things can be stopped immediately and that the people accused be present. May God help us. In this church here, we have not many members, so we can speak of as other cities. May God grant us to be always little small. So I go on reading. No one should enter into a conversation on this matter without immediately giving the accused the opportunity to express his defense. In 1 Timothy 4:13, Paul writes, "Until I come, apply yourself to reading, to exhortation, to teaching." Here is another part of the scripture. Not new, but deep things. Then he exhorts his fellow worker to exercise the gift he has received from God. It appears from the context that Timothy received his gift through the laying on of the hands of the elders. Not by the apostles or the prophets or ministry, no. Through the laying on of the hands of the elders. It is written in verse 14. 1 Timothy 4:14. Do not. So until I come, apply yourself to reading, exhortation and teaching. Do not neglect the gift of grace which is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the bodies of the elders. Alleluia. Of the college of the elders, the gathering of the elders. Like Acts 15. Or Acts 13 or so. Here elders who can put their hands, the college of the elders can put their hands. But important here, reading, we read again. Reading, exhortation, teaching. Do not neglect the gift of grace which is in you, which was given you by prophecy. Always what we heard in Acts Apostle 13, when the Lord spoke, like a prophecy, a preacher, an apostle. Let's read Acts 13. Acts 13. May God have mercy on us so that we read correctly the scriptures and not go out of the scriptures. Acts 13. 1. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers. Preachers, And God spoke. And then they laid their hands on them, but the gift was already there. May God confirm those things. So take care of these things, be there entirely, so that your progress is evident to all. Finally, Paul gives this serious exhortation. This is for us all, for ministries, for elders, for everybody. Be attentive to yourself and to the teaching. Persevere in these things. I have also highlighted in my book, in the brochure. Be yourself, be attentive to yourself, to the teaching. You must live your teaching. Be attentive to yourself and to the teaching. One Timothy four fourteen. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy, when the council of the elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers. Persist in this, persevere in this, so that by doing so you will save both yourself and the one who listened to you. It's like Matthew 24, 45. I am listening to Matthew 24, 45, but if I have to preach, what I preach? As I know that Brother Frank put it in practice, of course I am not like him, but we know how it is. So these persons are integer, honorable. The same position. If not, we go out. How many went out? He said this, he wanted to say this, he wanted to say that. It's not like this. I go on, Brother Frank writes, Paul highly valued his fellow workers following the same teaching, who followed the same teaching he had received from the Lord. You know, even Brother Frank is happy when we bring the same teaching, when we expose the same teaching, the same word. The same spirit. Hallelujah. everybody should be together, connected together. Apostles, teachers, evangelists, everybody should be elders, everybody should be connected together. Hallelujah. After the elders are established by the apostles who founded this community, the elders, bear the responsibility before God. We have already spoken about it. So here Brother Frank say it openly. Elders bear their responsibility before God to continue to give this teaching without error. Their task and their responsibility is greater than is generally thought. During a trip of Paul's trip, he sent for the elders of the church. We find the account of this in Acts 20:17. However, Paul from Miletus sent to Ephesus to seek the elders of the church. Paul did not invite the apostles, the prophets, and the teachers, but brought the elders of the church of Ephesus to him. Important. The elders have a great responsibility of the local church. May God have mercy. And may each one have conscience of this, of what God is revealing. We can read the whole chapter to see how he spoke to the elders, but we will quote from verse 27, where it is said to us, "For I have announced to you all the counsel of God without hiding anything. Take heed, therefore, to yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you bishops, overseers, to feed the church of the Lord, which he bought with his own blood." We must be conscious that we don't have business with people, but with God, with the Lord. Notice that in verse 17, the brethren are called elders, but in verse 28, they are called bishop, overseers. See, Brother Frank turns on it. It is very necessary to recognize that the elders are not elected by a vote of the church, but they are well placed as overseers by the Holy Spirit. May God help the Church of Jesus Christ. I don't speak about this small assembly, but all the Church of Jesus Christ, the Assembly of Jesus Christ, to recognize that the elders are not elected by a vote, but they are placed as overseers by the Holy Spirit. The one who wants to serve, who aspires to this task, if you desire this task, is because someone has put it in your heart. You understand? I make a pause. You understand? If you have in your heart, is because it is there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, they are placed by the Holy Spirit. The elders have the task of praying for the sick in the church, while an evangelist like Philip in Samaria can pray for all who come to the meeting. It is written in James 5:14, Is any among you sick? Let him call the elders of the church, and let the elders pray for him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith. So it's written, I repeat, James 5:14. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call the elders of the church, and let the elders pray for him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. We can take from these words, as we have already pointed out above, that the believers of a community do not have to place their trust in this matter to a pastoring evangelist, an evangelist who passed by the local church. But they must ground it to local church elders who are always willing to pray for the sick. It would be advisable that every child of God read again carefully and in prayer every passage of the Bible which deals with this subject, so that we can again experience in the Church of the Living God the blessed results for which we long for so long. Why? Because you want to put out the anointing of the elders and you want to put it on someone, for example, who have an anointment of evangelist, but once there's fire, they go out. And this is not God's will. You have understood. You put out a part of the action of the Holy Spirit on the elders, and you want to put it in another place. You must be aware of each one's position. We have to remain in limits of the Word of God in the local church. It is written in Hebrews 13:17. Obey your leaders . Obey it means, in fact, in the original Greek, let them be persuaded. Let yourself be convinced, persuaded, in the original Greek, and have deference for them. For they watch over your souls as they must give an account. Amen. Peter writes in 1 Peter 5:1, these are the exhortations which are addressed to the elders who are among you. I, an elder like you, like them, a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a share in the glory which is to be manifested. Feed the flock of God who is in your care, not by compulsion, but voluntarily, according to God, not for sordid gain, but with dedication, not as dominant over those who have come to you in sharing, but as models of the flock. And when the sovereign pastor appears, you will obtain the incorruptible crown of glory. Peter, as an apostle, also saw himself as responsible, you see, responsible for the local church. If you don't have a responsible of the church, there's something that is not good, it's wrong. This is truth. If you don't feel, a responsibility for which God has called you, is something that goes wrong. May God have mercy. It's important what we say here. That's why we wanted to read I wanted to put the emphasis on it. Let it be a blessing to all those who are listening to it. See? So let's read Hebrew 13, 17 again. Once again, Hebrew 13. Obey your leaders. So in original Greek, let's be persuaded or be convinced by the leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. You know, if you always groan, if you're always groaning, your groaning is difficult. And it would be not of your advantage, because you are stopped, you are, because in that case you will be restrained, slowed down, halted. Pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things. I urge you the most earnestly to do this in order that I may be restored to you the sooner. Verse 20. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, may the blood of the eternal covenant equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Let's stop here. To God be all the glory. These are doctrines, but the instructions are given to the church, and it's necessary that we took it in heart. Hallelujah. And the rest, the Lord will take care of it. To God be the glory. Let's stand up and we pray. Let's pray for those who leave. Marvelous Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this evening, for your precious word. We are under your authority, under your spirit, and each word that we have read, each exhortation may be printed in our heart. Remain with us. Be with all your church. That we may live in harmony, everybody live in harmony in the whole body of Christ. The best days are before us, so that we can glorify your name. Thank you, God, for this evening, for brothers and sisters who listened. this little group. The brothers were absent. You deal with everything. The sick, the needy, the people who are backward, you will make them go ahead. Have mercy. You always have mercy. We cannot say something else. Act, my God, for the glory of your name. We are finishing our way so that we can join you. Have mercy, so that we can put in practice each word that we are listening to. Have mercy. To you, adoration, praise, thanking. To you, our thanking. Yes, God, thank you for each thing, brothers, sisters, for everyone, for the youth, for the children. Have mercy. You take care of us. You watch over us. Thank you. To you, the glory, adoration. And also for Brother Bruno, for those who translate, for Brother Patti, for Gianfranco, who remain at home, for Antonio in holidays. Yes, God, for each one, take in your hands our life. Thank you, God, because you do it. We trust you that you will finish your work. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, God, Lord.